Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You all remember the story from the Old Testament about Israel's wandering through the wilderness, first from Egypt to Mount Sinai, and how Moses handed down the law from God to them from Mount Sinai and sealed with the people of Israel that covenant. The covenant under which Israel would live for the next 1,500 years. The covenant they all agreed to. The covenant they agreed to keep, to fulfill, while God would fulfill his end of the bargain as well. Now that's the covenant that St. Paul referred to in the epistle today to the Galatians as the covenant under which they lived in slavery. Now, we'll talk about that again in a moment, but remember, the covenant of the law became for many in Israel a covenant that enslaved them, while the covenant that Christ established was not a covenant of slavery, but of freedom. We'll come back to that in a moment. Remember what happened right before Moses gave the law to Israel on Mount Sinai, or shortly before they arrived at Mount Sinai. About 2 months earlier is when Passover happened, the first Passover, when God spared the people of Israel from the death of the firstborn, the plague with which he attacked the people of Egypt, and how he redeemed them from that slavery in Egypt and brought them out across the Red Sea miraculously, and then led them through that wilderness stretch between Egypt and Mount Sinai. And when they got hungry there in the wilderness on that journey, what happened? God provided bread from heaven, bread that fell down onto the ground and was there in the morning when they got up. They said, "What is it?" which in Hebrew is manna. And how God provided that manna to them even before they arrived at Mount Sinai, before establishing the covenant with them as a sign of his goodness, as a token of his providence and care, and as an incentive for Israel to embrace the covenant that God was about to make with them, because he is a good God who cares for us sinners. That bread was a daily reminder to Israel that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, where did we hear those words recently? Well, it was just 3 weeks ago, on the first Sunday in Lent, when Jesus spoke those words, actually threw them back at the devil, who was trying to tempt him to turn those stones into bread. Because why? Because God the Father had allowed his beloved Son to go hungry for 40 days in a row. And again, Jesus suffers. Suffers things he doesn't deserve to suffer, like hunger, or later like the cross, where sinners receive gifts that they don't deserve, whether it's bread from heaven in the form of manna, or whether it was bread that was multiplied by 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in today's gospel account. It's a simple account in today's gospel, nothing difficult to understand about it. John tells us that the Passover was near, so the people of Galilee already had to be thinking and making plans for that annual journey down from Galilee to Jerusalem, where they would celebrate the Passover again that year to commemorate God's redemption of Israel from Egypt and the wilderness wanderings and the manna and the covenant established through Moses on Mount Sinai. With those things, at least in the back of their minds, the people had gone out to Jesus in the wilderness. He had been teaching his disciples, but they saw all those signs he did, all the miracles, all the healings, and they wanted some of that too for themselves. So they went out to where he was and spent some time listening to him, having their diseases healed by him. And then before they could even notice their own hunger at the end of the day, Jesus had a plan to feed them and a plan to teach them something through that feeding. He had his disciples search for some food for the people, and all they came up with was those 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. But when Jesus took those loaves of bread and the fish and gave thanks for them, he distributed them to his disciples, started handing them out, and the disciples then handed them out to the people who were sitting down, some 5,000 men, plus the women and children who were there. And as Jesus just kept handing out bread and fish to the disciples, so they just kept handing it out to the people until over 5,000 people were filled, had had enough, and had leftover pieces that were enough to fill 12 baskets. Another little reminder, 12 tribes of Israel wandering through the wilderness, receiving bread miraculously from the hand of their God. And so again, we see the kindness and the goodness of Jesus, his desire and his ability to provide for those who follow him. We see his divine power. We see the same God who provided bread miraculously from heaven for the people of Israel, now here in the flesh, still providing free gifts to his people. Who wouldn't believe in this man who is God? Who wouldn't want him for a savior? But John's gospel ends this account on a sour note. When the people saw the miracle Jesus had done, they said, "This man truly is the prophet who is to come into the world." But Jesus knew that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. Now, what happened? How did the people go from being thankful and amazed and drawing the conclusion that this man is the prophet, that is the coming Christ, to the conclusion that they should lay hands on Jesus and force him to be their king? Well, this highlights one of the two errors that Israel fell into over the centuries. Throughout much of the Old Testament, the people of Israel, the same people who made the covenant with God there on Mount Sinai, rejected the God who made the covenant with them through open idolatry, whether it was bowing down to the golden calf right there on Mount Sinai, not long after the covenant had been made with them, to all of their many idolatries and open disobedience to God's commandments through the Old Testament, openly worshiping idols, not fulfilling their end of the covenant while still expecting God to fulfill his. There were still some in Israel who lived like that at the time of Jesus in open disobedience to God and yet still somehow expecting that, well, he'll just give us the inheritance of heaven anyway. But for the most part, Israel had fallen into a different error, a second error, the one that we encounter most often in our Gospels. While outwardly showing great zeal for the covenant God made with Israel at Mount Sinai, they inwardly put their trust in themselves and in their works, in their circumcision, in their obedience to the law, in their descent from Abraham. They thought, "We've kept our end of the bargain. Now we expect God to keep his too. We've kept the law. Now God has to do his part." They still looked for a Christ to come, but not one to save them from sin, death, and the power of the devil. They wanted a Christ who would be an earthly king, someone who would make all sorrow and sickness vanish forever, someone who would conquer their earthly oppressors, someone who would satisfy their bellies and make their lives comfortable. and make their nation glorious. Isn't that what the covenant of Mount Sinai was all about? Well, no, it never was. What few people realized at the time of Christ was that the law given at Mount Sinai was not the goal. It wasn't the end. It wasn't the purpose. The law was always there to point them to Christ, to point them to their sinfulness and to their need for a God who would save them not by their obedience, but by His goodness and by His grace. Everyone's disobedience, from the open idolaters to those who simply trusted in themselves, all of it was worthless before the law. The law pointed to its own fulfillment and to its own replacement, to a new covenant of grace and the forgiveness of sins. The law was there to guide the people to Christ. And so about a year before Jesus would fulfill the law completely in every way, and before He would institute that new covenant in His blood, we have this miracle that He performed, similar to the miraculous feeding of the people of Israel in the wilderness. He fed the hungry people of Israel with bread, a sign of who He was, the same God who provided manna in the wilderness, a sign of His care and compassion, of His goodness and love, a sign that the new covenant would soon be instituted, a sign that they should put their trust in Him, not only for their bodies, but more importantly, for their souls. That was the intended message behind the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is the prophet, the promised Messiah, who will save you from your sins by His grace and goodness. But because the people were still in love with the old covenant, because the people were still deluded into thinking that they had fulfilled the old covenant, the message they received was, we should take Jesus by force and make Him our king to provide earthly peace and security and comfort. We don't need a savior from sin. We don't need a new covenant. And so they became slaves. Slaves to the old covenant, bound to the law by their own choice now, bound to earn their own place in heaven, which no one can do. And the result? Jesus left those people. He departed again to the mountain by Himself, alone. This is really what St. Paul is referring to in today's epistle. The people of Israel who rejected Jesus as the Christ who would offer Himself as an atoning sacrifice to save them from their sins by pure grace, those people were actually enslaved under the old covenant. They pretended that they were keeping the law, but they didn't really read the law or listen to it, because if they had, they would have recognized that their thoughts, their words, their deeds were impure, that they had broken God's law and deserved only His wrath and punishment. But Christians, whom Paul refers to in the epistle as children of the free woman, or children of the promise, children of Sarah, like Isaac was, who was born not according to natural processes, but really according to the promise of God, who made that miracle possible for Sarah to have that son by Abraham. We are the recipients of the promise of salvation through faith alone in this good and gracious and compassionate Savior called Jesus. Christians know and believe that Christ Jesus has freed us from the condemnation we deserve by suffering not what He deserved to suffer, but what we deserve to suffer. We believe that Christ Jesus has freed us from having to keep our end of the bargain, because we can't keep the law as it must be kept in order to earn salvation by it. We believe that we are saved by faith alone in this good and gracious Savior who provided the only sacrifice for our sins. And we don't look to him to take away all our problems and struggles in this world. We look to him to help us through them, to provide the relief that we need when we need it, even as he once provided bread in the wilderness for his followers. And we look to him to bring us safely into his heavenly kingdom, to the resurrection of the dead and the last day when he will take away all our problems and struggles. Until then, hold on to the freedom that comes from faith. Hold on to Christ as your Redeemer who loves you. Hold on to the sacraments where Christ gives you both forgiveness and strength to live a new life. Live in the freedom of the children of promise, not free to sin, not free to treat people badly or free to ignore the Word of God, but free to serve your neighbor in love. This freedom from the law, this freedom from salvation by works, this freedom through faith in Christ is also the freedom to serve God without fear and to love freely, even as you have been freely loved. May Christ, the true bread from heaven, keep you firm and steadfast in this faith and in this freedom by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.